This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3501 for Monday the 3rd of January 2022. Today's show is entitled, HPR Community News for December 2021, and is part of the series, HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers, and is about 72 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released, and comments posted in December 2021.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, HPR Community News for December 2021. We made it through, Dave. We made it through.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Still alive and everything. Wow.
It's not over yet. So, joining me tonight is Dave and there are a few other people around. Don't know if they'll unmute later. We're recording this smidgen early in order to facilitate the community news, in order to facilitate the HPR New Year show, which is scheduled for a few days from now. So there we go. Scheduled for tomorrow, to be honest.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, I'll start all these projects that I had left binned for the entire year. But by the time you hear this, it's over. Possibly. Could be still going, you never know. Anyway, as a little bit of background on what HPR is, we're a community podcast that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday, an entirely volunteer organization where the shows are submitted by the listeners, people very much like you listening to this today. And one of those who stepped forward to join us on our quest was?
Sound of my brain working and changing tabs. And we are congratulating Mechatroniac, who joined us in this past month.
Excellent. Excellent handle there.
Yeah,
cool. Yep. And why HPR? HPR is dedicated to sharing knowledge. And you can do so by submitting an audio file of your choosing on any topic that's of interest to hackers that isn't spam. And many of those people who do that, we come on here once a month to give you first of all, to go through all the shows in the month, make sure everybody's got at least some feedback. And then we go through all the stuff that's been happening on the mailing list and all the other stuff. So, shall we start, Dave?
Indeed, indeed.
The first one was audio wiring hack in a classroom in Lafayette, Louisiana, by John Culp.
Yes, this is John going and tweaking the wiring in a lecture theatre, which, you know, sounds just like John, just the sort of thing you'd expect him to do.
absolutely, yes.
We have one... Yeah, go on.
Wondering, was he doing this clandestine-like, but apparently he had asked them to do it, but they didn't, so there you go.
Yeah, I could see that exploding, not in a literal way, but all manner of kickback. If we dared to do that sort of thing in the university I worked at, the audiovisual people would be at the doorstep, the heavies would be there. What did you do?
Indeed. Do you answer Trey's?
I'll read Trey, shall I? Yeah.
Please.
So Trey says, "I'm sure the audio strip video department loves you." It's the same view as I do. "Thanks for sharing this great little hack. It may have a negative impact on the impedance matching for this audio input channel, but it shouldn't be overtly noticeable when listening. Thanks again for sharing."
Excellent. So the following day, we had Linux in-laws with version control systems and why you should bother. Another excellent example as the guys putting together a nice show, given an overall bit of history, actually, and the various different...
It's quite nice to get a bit of context. Yeah. I knew some of it, but not all of it, so it's good to have that sort of view.
And Trey again was here and said, "Thanks for sharing. I've been managing versions of configuration files locally on my system, and you have inspired me to try to use GitHub instead." GitLab. GitLab. We shall see how it goes. Keep up the awesome work.
Hey, cool.
And continue chugging away with his series on the GIMP this time. This is more a layer modes in GIMP and darken modes.
Yeah, and as ever, go on, sorry.
And as ever, you should check out the links in his show notes.
Yeah, it's quite interesting insight into how this sort of stuff works. I've never given it much thought, but it's sort of pulling back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, and some of the effects you'd never really think of doing, but then you look at some of them and you go, oh, I've seen that before. That's such and such a person's logo.
Yeah. That's intriguing. Good stuff.
No comments on this, which I think he's getting an unduly few comments on this. That's not English, but I'm tired.
No, it's true. It's partly because Hooker's become sort of part of the HBR furniture, I feel, that, you know, it's this type of Hooker show. Oh, yeah, fine. Oh, that was good. But, you know, why do you congratulate your chairs every day?
Yeah, exactly. Well done on the...
well done on the seating. It's a shame because he does deserve lots of congratulations, which we try and give him, of course, on these shows.
Even those, you know, if he has three shows in the one series, we just kind of skip over the other two, you know. But Auga, feel free to take as much credit as you like, and indeed, there's a beverage of your choice available whenever you come over to visit.
Absolutely, yes.
Although he may need to waterproof his RV to get it over the Atlantic. Yeah.
I don't know if he's planning to head to Europe. Not in the RV, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, there's a show I'd like to hear. How do you? The following day show was the community news. We said nothing controversial, and that was that. And then we had an introduction to post-apocalyptic robotics meta-technology from Metatronics, and there was one comment on this one. It's a new host, by the way. Yep. My turn or yours?
I think it's mine, isn't it? Yeah. Took me a while to scroll down. I forgot I can click the comment button. Anyway, revealing my idiocy to the world today. Fascinating subject, says Windigo. This is a stellar first episode. Harvested electronic components, robotics on the cheap, made for the apocalypse, but fun beforehand as well. Thank you for the additional video links. I'm glad I was able to see these robots in action. I'm looking forward to future shows in this series.
Excellent. So he has to do more shorts now.
Yeah. I've not looked at the video. I've slipped up there. I must have a look at that. It sounds a lot of fun. The things like printer motors and stuff. I have a couple of dead printers here. I'm loath to throw away, so I'm going to see what I can do with the bits at some stage.
Yeah. Anyway, next day was a very short show from Sigflop, and she's got a phone. It's a Pine64 phone. I have a Pine64 phone. Did I do a show about it? No. So, procrastination... Procrastination gets in the way again. However, I just would be interested to know, does my Pine64 phone gets really hot? I mean, really burn your leg hot. I'm wondering, is that normal? Mm-hmm. Anybody out there with a Pine64 phone?
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
And there's a image in the show notes, GIMP on a cell phone, for obvious reasons.
As you would, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Why not?
I was trying to talk my kids into having one of these, but they said, no, the iPhone will be fine, thanks very much.
Following there, this one will be right up your alley, I'm guessing. My Vim setup with GNU-PG. Talk to me about it.
This is very cool. It's the ability for Vim to read and write encrypted files, which you've encrypted with your GPG key and stuff, which is really cool. Yeah, I can't remember if I've done this. I think I might have tried at some point, but never had any great need for it, since it's just me. But I do have a few GPG encrypted files, but I don't need to edit them mostly. But still, it's cool. It's very cool.
Mm. I love the show notes, even the color.
Yeah, yeah. Archer 72 is doing a wonderful job of preparing show notes, actually. We had a little bit of a fight with his pictures, as I recall, but not much, because we were sort of feeling our way to the best way of putting pictures in show notes, which I want to write up at some point and make available to the HBR world. But yeah, it worked out really well.
Yep. Very good, very good. I'm filing this one under the heading of I will need that at some point.
Yeah, it's good to have that sort of thing. It is, to have that capability is going to be excellent.
I have occasions in work to have files GPG'd. Least common denominator, actually. So There you go. The following day, I, inspired by a comment on Mastodon, it was 50 years at the time of recording when the first edition of Unix was published, and I thought to myself, well, why not get the book? And somebody says, here's the original book. So I went and got all the commands from the first version of Unix and then tried them on my laptop, just running Fedora, to see how many were still working after all these years. And about half of them have survived. But the half that have survived are the ones that have nothing to do with tape decks. So
yes. The I did actually encounter Unix in about 1970 something. There was a company called Harris that made a Unix sort of mini thing that we were looking at Lancaster University when I worked there. I have no idea what version of Unix it was, but it was. But tapes were very, very much involved. It was all about, you know, using tar to generate stuff and squirt it to tapes and rewinding your tapes and all that stuff. Yeah. Those are the days.
Well, that was you know, the hard disks of the time, the SD cards as such. So it makes sense. But what's interesting is all the other ones that continue to work, you know, and lots of work. 10,000 LS commands ran find about 3,000 times. RM about 2,000 times. Plateau would be pissed with me. But there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not amazing. Not really surprising, is it? These are nuts and bolts of Unix, Linux.
Yeah, and it's just the whole thing about Unix being a, you know, difficult learning curve, and yeah, it's a learning curve, but you've got 50 years in which to do it. Like, you know, can you? I remember having an argument in my when my kids were in national school, or in, I don't know what you call it in the UK, national school, the first school that they go to.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. Digress about Windows 2000 or Windows XP at the time, and that, you know, they'll have to learn how to use all this stuff. These operating systems will not exist by the time these kids have finished their education. You know? And yes, the Linux commands, the Unix commands will. So good.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to. Just as a personal voyage, to see how different these commands are from their original, because the GNU project has done a huge amount of work on twiddling them. I think probably find has got a bazillion options to it, and all the regular expression stuff. And yeah, I couldn't get on with find when I first used it back in HPUX and Ultrix and Sonos and things. It was a very, very strange thing to use, but it's become much, much easier to use.
I think it's just a few if statements from becoming sentient.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know
whose turn it is. Says,
yeah, it's yours, is it? Okay.
Well, do you want to
agree? No, it's all right. I'm just wittering in the background here.
That's fine. You know, Monochromic says, the show. Great show. This, of course, is an ugly mirror showing exactly how time flies and how we've been getting old ever since.
Very true. Very true.
But thankfully, we're not installing Windows 95 floppy disks. So yeah, I am still happy with the choice of media player that I've given the kids, which is Bash Console and MPV. I'm not ready to. You know, because I told you this ages ago about having to update like XBMC and whatever it's called, Kodi and all the rest, and UIs and menus, maintaining complicated systems. So I just said, here's a bash command. This is how you access your media. So they've learned CD, LS, and all the shortcuts, like for relative directories and full directories and directory navigation. And occasionally, when they think I'm not listening, they're teaching my wife how to do stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Laziness.
Yep. I think my son is also a bit of a command line freak, because he's had to do quite a lot of basic stuff during his MSc in computer science. Mm-hmm. So that I think he's become more enthusiastic about that since. Good, excellent thing.
Becomes so much more productive. I don't know, even though I have an icon there on the bottom of my screen for opening a browser, the amount of times I've hit Alt F2 and XGG open the web page. I don't know. It's just fine. Okay. Unleash the true potential of GNU Nano Text Editor, an audio rendition. This was by Hacker Defoe. And I read it out, more or less.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten that you'd done this one. Yeah. It's excellent. It's really, I had no idea that Nano could do all this stuff. I have hated on Nano for years, partly because I spent a few years using and supporting people using Pico, because we used Pine on the Vax cluster that I was managing, and so that comes with Pico, and that's where Nano's come from, because it's another one in that range, isn't it? We've had that discussion. It does the job. It does the job, but it's like, you know, trying to knock a nail in with a rock, it feels like, rather than having something which is properly balanced and constructed hammer to.
I think you'd be extremely unfair. I've always found it a useful editor.
Well, I just dislike it because I know there are editors where I can say, go through this whole file and do this to everything that matches. Mm-hmm. And that was the case too on VMS editors. I did a lot of work in editors on VMS because you could program, and they had a programming, the one I used anyway, had programming capabilities, so you could write sort of things in a Pascalish like language that let you extend your editor enormously, which I did, you know. So to find things that are that basic just irritates me, and it's a character flaw on my part. I fully accept it.
I'll accept that. Yeah.
I knew you would, but I really should have I should back away from that attitude and have a proper look at Nano based on this show. I think.
The following day we had installing a cat door by Rome, and this I thought was an interesting one.
Absolutely.
Hollow doors.
Absolutely.
That depressed me so much when I found that out.
I know. I have several of those sorts of doors in my house. In fact, I think they probably all are
expensive too, yeah?
Yeah, they're not cheap. Those ones with the sort of fake panel-y things on them that are made of MDF or something with just a big paper. A big hole filled with things like egg boxes. It's just sort of wiggly bits of cardboard holding it together. Yeah, it is intensely frustrating. Having tried to hang door hooks on the inside of the bathroom door, and then you find that it's like you're attaching it to paper. It's disgusting. It really is. But what do you do? What do you do? I just had a new door. I've got stairs up into my attic, and the attic is floored, and I'm trying to turn it into a sort of working area if I can. And I had a joiner in recently who was doing some work up there, enclosing the area in plasterboard stuff. And he put a new door on for me, and he said, "Oh, it's not a bad door. It's got a sort of veneer that makes it look like wood, but when you touch the bottom of it, where you had to cut it down to fit the gap,
yeah,
it's just open. It's just a void with bits of cardboard hanging out of it, which you don't see, but that's irritating the life out of me. I've got to go and do something about that.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. So, no comments on that one as yet. No doubt, in the fullness of time, electronics will be fitted to that, and we will get a live feed coming in from how often their door is open.
Cat goes in, cat comes out.
Correct, yes.
Yes, yes. It's a good show, though. I really enjoyed this sort of thing. I don't know whether everybody feels the same way, but I found it was great.
Yeah. The following day, we had a bioral 3D audio recording. Please listen at normal speed with good headphones. And this one annoyed me because I had to edit it. I had to rewrite my script to do the to not munge up the things, the channels. But that's a me thing, not a that's a like, oh, you've just hard coded all your variables type of problem. You know it's your fault. That still doesn't make you happy. Thankfully that. That has been fixed at least, so we're good to go.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad. Did we add in the links to the other episodes? I can't remember if it was Kubmo who sent in the. I think he did send in the original links. Yeah, which is great because he's been doing this stuff for a number of years now, and it's good to hear some more.
Yeah, I'm just wondering though, does every recording coming out of America have to have a fire alarm or a police alarm going off in the background? I don't know. I've most of the recordings I hear from the States, especially the rain ones, you hear a siren going off in the background.
Yeah. Well, it happens all over the place, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I took my kids to Paris and we stayed in Paris in a hotel, we were woken up regularly by blooming police sirens. They're very siren-y in Paris.
Yeah.
So yeah, it depends on this sort of local fashion, I think.
Yes, but in Paris, it's the flavor of the place. The fashion police.
Probably, yes.
Oh my God!
You have not carrying that bagel properly.
Okay, we do apologize to all our French listeners. We have an inferiority complex about France, as most people do.
I think it works both ways. Actually, I'm sure that a number of French people take the Mickey at Brits and whatever. So yeah.
So the following day, she's back. This time, it's Haskell. Equality of structured errors. Oh, this one I needed to read the notes. I did.
The notes are brilliant, as always. They're so full of information. But boy, it's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. I think there are several people on this network operating at a few gigahertz faster than I am.
Oh, yeah. Ditto.
And Tupaturito is one of those, that is for sure.
Yeah.
But good to have her back.
Yeah, very much applaud the fact that shows like this are being sent in and so forth. Maybe one day I shall get my head around Haskell, but don't hold your breath.
I've it's been one of these where I'm interacting with programmers and then it really shuts them up if you go, hey, you know, there's a cool series in Haskell there. you can go have a look at that. Oh my God, this person devil delves in the art that is Haskell.
Yeah.
Anywho, following day, the path. More on DOS. This time it's the path. Excellent. 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 Memories, memories. Traumatic memories, perhaps. But nonetheless, memories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. DOS is a strange beast, isn't it? It's or even is. That, yeah. I like I said before, I've forgotten most of the stuff I ever did, but yeah, it's quite interesting to be reminded.
And again, as with the GIMP episode, this is one that, yeah, thanking the chair.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. These are a great resource.
Now, my GitHub and Flick metrics. Bear with me as I go into my GitHub over the past year for some real gems in here. This operator. Wow. This is a treasure trove of stuff. This is one you want to check out just to have.
Yes. Yes. I think there's a few quite interesting pointers in that lot.
I have brain dump as it may be. It's still like...
Yes, there's weeks of study in there.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching this. For some reason, I was going on a train somewhere, and I was listening, and then script after script after script. And I'm, oh, my God, what is going on in here? Huh? What's he doing? Ah, that's what he's doing. Not very good. Like Android Logcat, for instance, is just... And each of them, my only criticism of this is each of these is a show in itself.
Yes, yes. That's very true.
But as we know, people just don't listen to me, Dave. To which you say, sorry, what did you say? It's on the script there, Dave, page 3.
You can see that if you can get all the stuff out in one show rather than sitting down umpteen times to do several shows, then there might be an incentive to do the former rather than the latter.
Yeah, anywho, the following day we had Linux in Laws, Pipewire, just another audio server, think again. I was complaining about yet another pipe, you know, yet another, I'm running Fedora. Fedora has adopted Pipewire, didn't we, a few years back, just had this big hoo-ha over Pulse Audio. And yes, it seems to have worked. And we seem to have migrated. And at the time, I was wondering why another one. And then this episode, they interview Martin, who is the lead developer for Pipewire.
Martin references that he wasn't there.
Sorry, not Martin. But, why don't they name the put the name they, of the people they're interviewing? That
they did.
Oh, sorry, Wim Tiemans. Wim Tiemans inventor. Yeah, that's him. But not only was it a brilliant explanation of Pipewire, the program, where it came from, and all the rest, but it was a great background to audio in Linux, to which, in actual fact, I've sent this off to several people recently who asked me about what's this with Jack and what's this with Pulse Audio and stuff, and then forwarded them to this episode. Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It really set the scene much better than I've ever heard before, actually. It's,
yeah.
I did not know most of this stuff, how they interrelated with one another. So, yeah, very cool.
Okay, very good. Okay, Monochromic, you get to stay for another month. My first Spanish episode. And this was an episode that we had a request from somebody to do, could they do a Spanish episode on HPR? And actually, Claudio got them to it. So in this show, he's, as I'm joking, he's trying to sell us NFTs in Spanish. I don't think so. I was surprised at how much I was able to guess from this, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was surprised how little I could get, actually. But I've only listened to it once, so I need to listen again. But yeah, it's... Spanish is a nice language. I wouldn't mind learning it, but it's a bit of a... It, as with all languages, it you either need to be in the context of it and then you start to absorb it, or you need to go mm-hmm. through the whole process of doing it in a formal way. So yeah, but very good, very good. I'd love to know what it, I'd like to see a transcript of it at some stage, a translation of it, I mean.
Comments?
So shall I do the first yep. one? DNT says, great episode. Thanks for the podcast recommendation. Great name for it too.
And I apologize for this. Oyente says, gracias. Muy bueno tu podcast. Ya hablé español. Perdón, Castelo. Muy bueno. Muy bueno. Saludos desde Puerto Rico. Say it with confidence. Say it with confidence.
Aye. It's, It's a very attractive language. And the structure of it has got a lot in connection, lot connections with French and other such so-called Romance languages and stuff. So Italian as well, I suppose. Yeah, Portuguese. But anyway, yeah, cool.
So, recent generator repairs by John Cope from Lafayette, Louisiana. Yet again, I've started now. When they come past in Mastodon, the releases, I've started to give a little summary in reply.
Mm-hmm, and, yeah,
did you? Yes.
Yeah.
I see you didn't boost them, Dave. So obviously you don't.
I just read. I just read only. It's me.
Haven't got the Vim plugin yet for to do a boost. God, okay, fine. Anywho, yes, the generator. Why? Everybody seems to have a generator. Amazing.
Hurricanes. If your power goes out often, then that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Says he. Yeah. John will be laughing when they when he hears the dikes have broken here in the Netherlands and we have no generators. Yeah. See, I told you so.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I in the last few years at work, I was tasked with improving electrical power to a computer room, big mainframe-y size computer room, and although we put in a big UPS to power the whole room, the next step in the plan was to have a generator outside. We even spec'd where it's going to go. We're going to put a concrete plinth out there, have an auto generator that switched in when needed and stuff. But then they said, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money. No, we can't do that. The people who wanted it so desperately didn't want it. you know how it is, management. But it's a very interesting thing to be working with. But I find this show fascinating because I didn't know an alternative would be propane generator as opposed to, you say this is a gasoline, a petroleum, petrol thing. I assume there were diesel in many cases as well.
Yeah, fascinating. Absolutely, the insights you get, you assume that you know, you get a feel for a place and then suddenly something completely different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The fact that you can connect it to your house power supply, presumably, and then switch over to that source rather than the main source is pretty cool.
I imagine you have the freezer and stuff going.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no idea how that's done in the UK, if it is.
More shows, folks, more shows. If you know, give us a show. Hey! What was that? Do you know? If you know, give us a show. Bam.
Wow. A slogan.
Copywriter here. Yeah, get on that straight away. Podcast recommendation, The Retroist. And Trey says, great recommendation. Thanks for the recommendation. I listened and it was a great dive into my favorite Christmas films of all time. And I saw The Retroist himself, or herself, themselves, giving us now a boost there on the social medias.
Cool, very good.
Pity it isn't Creative Commons, because how I actually did this, we watched Die Hard over the Christmas, on Christmas Day actually, Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife had never seen it. And I had confused it with Lethal Weapon, which I had seen literally hundreds of times because it was the only video tape we had when we were in college. So we'd come home from the pub and put on Lethal Weapon. Anywho, so I hadn't seen it as often as I thought I had. And the kids wanted to watch it because it's been referenced all the time. It's a running joke in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Have you ever watched that series?
No.
It's, yeah. A cop show.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Comedy cop show based in New York, and the guy is in, you know, it's his favorite movie, and everything is basically about Die Hard. So it's, yeah, it was funny. But then the day afterwards, after listening to it, after watching it, I listened to the podcast, not this podcast. I had already listened to this podcast, but I listened to the Retrist podcast, and very nice, well produced show, and. Yeah.
To listen.
And a lot of insights into the movie, actually, that I wasn't aware of.
Mm. It's quite a layered movie. I do recall watching it a long time ago. Rarely, it's one of the rare films I've actually seen all the way through. So I usually get bored with them and tune out. I'm not a great one for movies. But yeah, it's actually... It's a meme though, isn't it?
Is it a Christmas movie? Is it not a Christmas movie?
yeah. But still, it's good stuff. So yeah, it's a shame it couldn't have been included in the podcast couldn't have been included in the episode.
Yeah,
as you say, it's copyright issues.
Although I've had look, not this month actually, because I've contacted two different people about changing the copyright, and one of them sent back not flattering, not a great response, but anyway, we do our best to stay polite and try again. But sometimes you have luck. I've had a bit of luck getting people to at least switch to a Creative Commons license, you know, non-commercial even, is at least better than nothing.
I don't think many people fully understand the nuances of it is part of the issue. I must admit to sometimes drawing a blank when I come to think about it. So, yeah.
I think we've, in the free software community, a lot of people have been exposed to the concept of licenses and then coming into Creative Commons as a license on a published work, then that kind of makes sense. But I think a lot of people just assume, oh, it's on YouTube. It's, yeah, I can share it. I can upload it to YouTube. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The following day, Nor hit me with that one.
I think he pronounced it Norrist.
Norrist. Okay.
Norrist.
Norrist. Norrist says, how I record HPR episodes, some Python to record short segment of audio. And I presume you will be doing the comments of this.
So some guy commented on this saying, great show. Yep. A very interesting approach to recording HBR shows. Not a method that ever occurred to me, but that's what HBR is all about, smiley face. Great to hear your comments about Mr. Gadgets. He was an HBR stalwart for many years, and I, for one, miss his contributions. I was listening to some of his shows while working on the TAG project, and it was great to hear him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
amazing.
But Norris' show was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
It's unbelievable.
It's a very, very good show, and well done. And the thinking behind it is really, you know, a bit eye opening. I think really, it's, you know, just seeing how other people do things teaches you.
Do you want
to
give people a summary of what the show is about?
Well, he is not. He wants to record HBR shows. He's been a long time HBR listener. And but he's not good at speaking off the cuff, which is why he mentioned Mr. Gadgets and how he used to just phone in shows, and he could just talk in a structured way just off the top of his head, I think. But Norris is saying that he can't do that, so he comes at shows with a script, but in some cases he quite likes to do them in small chunks. So he's written a thing that lets him record a bit and then record another bit and then stick them all together and make a show, which and he drives the recording and sticking with scripts, and which use a script as is, as in a written text with markers to separate the chunks. Yeah. So he can do it. So, you know, overall, that's a fantastic idea, I think.
Really, I am more than mildly interested in this. If that's a word. I'm thinking of doing some stuff like this, because if you do it this way, then you've got your show notes out of the way straight away. And it gives you a structure for it. Very, very, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really interesting way of approaching it. I've yet to look at he's sent in his Python script or scripts, is it? Just the one. I think there's quite a lot to be learned from what he's doing there. So I've yet to look in detail, but still very cool.
Okay, cool. Next one is Jankulators. Has to be one of Spoon. Follow the wails of the Janky Sizzle monster to the muddly flux of Head Torch Borderlands. Which makes no sense if you didn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
I have to admit, going, what? And then do a rewind to the beginning where it was, it's one of Spoon's. Right. Rebooting my mind to the correct frame of reference, and away we go again.
Yeah.
Excellent.
A most interesting take on the subject.
We'd love to see a photograph.
Yes, yes.
Or perhaps a wood carving might be more appropriate.
yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. No comments on that as yet.
I think everybody's still digesting, probably.
Yeah. In shock.
Yes.
Right. The guys are back with the big Christmas New Year bash with the Grumpies. They do a lot of planning. They were able to squeeze this in on the 29th. And the future is, yes, CentOS will always be open. It was coherent, but as I was listening to it, it was coherent. But looking at the links, it doesn't seem to be.
Yes, it's one of these stream of consciousness things. It turns out to be. Yes.
But it's an enjoyable show, particularly if you're into their brand of humor.
Yes. Oh, it did a great job. It's quite nice, the four of them all bouncing ideas off each other. Yeah. That's a good combination, I thought.
So the next one was today, as we record this, fixing a noisy blower motor, which was Archer 72. And what I liked about this one was not only did he get a fix, but there was a before and after, and it was a definite improvement.
Yeah. That was an important thing, wasn't it? Yeah, and I noticed that and noted it to myself. Yeah. And it was. He sent in some nice pictures too, which I'm always a great fan of, as you know.
Yeah, cool. Although I hate leaf blowers myself, I have to tell you.
Yeah,
we have we're bordering on two graveyards behind us, and it's like 24/7. You're going, why? You know, it's just like the lads have nothing to do there, and then right, okay, go out for a few hours and blow the leaves away when there's no possible reason to do it. Anyway, and the last show of the year, I think rather fittingly, was episode 3,500. That is 3,800 shows, Dave. So we're going to be hitting our 4,000th episode next year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff.
Anyway, the show itself was the GIMP. It was about layer modes called blending modes, combining layers in different ways If you don't know about layers, you should listen to this, because it's a very good concept of how layers work. And his analogies were quite good in this, I have to say.
Fred, I haven't listened yet, because
we're been a busy, pretending been a to busy be the future, week. Dave. We're pretending to be 2022.
I know. It's,
you just myself. Ruined the illusion there.
We should talk about it next month.
Fair enough. Let's do that. Of course, you're going to spend 3 evenings scripting something to make sure that we do that, I guess.
I might not, actually.
Do we have any comments that are not covered? Oh, and last. So there's 6 comments from 4 previous shows, apparently. So from the Squirrel Free Software Foundation blog, Dodo Dummy says, where's the thumbs down button? What are you talking about? I think that should be, what are you talking about? You seem to think that if a distro removes an application, they hate it can call. If a distro removes an application, they hate it can call them names. Part of making a distro is adjusting the curate application list. It never occurred to me that HBR should have a thumbs down button until I listened to this piece of work. Next one?
Yeah. The next one is from DNT on a show from Klaatu about XML Starlet. And DNT says, when I listened to We Need to Talk About XML, I nodded in agreement. Working in localization, there's a lot of XLIFF. What is that? I don't know what that is. So I've learned to appreciate it. This week, I had a chance to use XML Starlet at work, so I came back and had another listen to this. There was some trouble figuring out the deal with XML namespaces. I found that in XML Starlet, you can just use __:node, where the underscore stands for the default namespace. For now, this just worked, but I do need to learn more about namespaces. Thanks again.
Yeah, the __:// there is not necessary. You can do it with full relative paths with the __:, but only if you're not dealing with multiple namespaces. If you're dealing with multiple namespaces, I suppose that's a show there that I need to do. All right, fine. I'll freaking do it.
Yeah. I did try and learn some of this a number of years ago, and then decided not to. I retired instead, so that's fine.
I would love to have the option, Dave. I spent quite a considerable amount of time going over XML, and I have this massive how-to and work that people occasionally hit the like button on. And just tears of pain. Anyway, we covered the love bugs comment, I'm guessing.
We did, yep.
We'll go on to operator, whose comment about replace Ken Fallon with a script. This was on my HPR audiophone, which is a comment I made to operator from HPR. Do you want to read that one? And then I think I commented back.
All right. Cannot be automated. Oh, shame. Alexa, Siri, neural networks, everything can and will be automated. I would start with detection of notes, similar how singing auto-tune can make people almost sound like they can sing, where the audio is checked for N length of music. ID it's near the beginning and matches the intro music by N%. Then they included the intro, and if the notes don't match, maybe it's some other music or singing. Same for outro. The only limit is yourself. And gives a link to www.zombo.com. I struck a nerve there. It says, you make a good point about messing with people's audio. I imagine a fully automated system that will manage at least 75% of uploads. Smiley face. What if you only had to answer one question? Choose an option. Let HPR edit your audio, remove noise, detect presence, intro, detect presence, outro. ? Do not edit my audio. Those would be the options that would be presented, perhaps.
To which I replied, thanks for volunteering. Hi, operator. Thanks for volunteering to do this. Once we have a script up and running, then you can announce it to the general population, Ken. So, I intended that to be tongue-in-cheek, but reading it, it doesn't seem to be. But if anyone was thinking that I was serious about that, I wasn't. But with regards to his options, no, because we've already seen that the is your intro and outro present. If you ask people to just fill out a form, it doesn't get filled out properly, even by seasoned hosts. In fact, especially by seasoned hosts, actually tend not to pay any attention to the radio buttons on the forms. So, no. Mm-hmm. No. And Taj, in the most recent... DevRandom episode, they are saying that yes, automation of audio is not possible, and I'm agreeing with them. Yes, mm-hmm. Transcoding I can do, but don't go messing with audio. Thank you.
Yes, it's a deadly thing. Though I must admit, yes. my son, who is into AI big time. Seems to think that it is possible, but I don't know whether that comes with being an AI person or whether it's reality or not.
Yeah,
I suspect theoretically, probably all manner of things are possible, but the reality has a nasty bite sometimes.
Yeah. Correct. And I've worked with Alexi and Siri, and the number of false positives that you get, the number of I can't really comment on it, but it ain't a panacea either. And neural networks are just computer generated if statements. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll bring my son on one time and see what he guess. I would really like to hear him do a show actually, he's still in the early days of his new job. Anyway, there's one more comment from operator said fun. Yeah, I caught the Spanish episode and I thought I could try a rough translation to English with the script I wrote to speech to text any media. And he gives a link to a GitHub script in his GitHub repository we saw before. Detection of standard HPR intro should be possible, and if I'm lucky, I can detect any non-standard like humming, etc. But I only ever done basic .NET training with images.
Mm. Yeah, all messing aside, I had a look at that script and I couldn't see anything in it that would lead me to think that it was going to be able to do stuff. But then again, it calls another script within it, so I'll have to have a look.
Yeah, I had a quick look.
I personally, before I uploaded my audio, would really appreciate a deomifier. So if you can work on a D, and A amplifier, that would be great. And it should be possible to do that because each person tends to have their own remember what the word is for that filler sound that people make when they're thinking. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. Everybody else knows, who's listening to my shows, knows what my personal ones are.
Yep. I go through a lot of trouble to remove them out of mind because my brain, now being as old as it is, cannot go as fast as it could. So there's a lot of I need to think here. While I do this, I shall just go and so on. But you can spot them because they have this strange sort of shape like a sort of small whale.
Yeah,
as you scan the thing, and you say, "Oh, there's an bam, get that going." But yes, so you would think it would be possible to do that, wouldn't you? But
yep,
wait and see.
So that was that for the shows. Moving on to the mail list discussion, and for people who don't know, we tend to discuss policy stuff on the HPR. Mail list, and basically whenever a question comes in that is above my pay grade, then I just ask the host to pass that question on to the mail list so it can be discussed there. And for some reason, I was checking to see. Oh, yeah, I wanted to see if the janitor's mail was working. So there was no need to reply. It worked.
It looked like there was an issue with mail around about that time, where I don't know, I don't know what it was. I think I suffered from it
You've
because my
started
head.
xyloning. I don't know if it's you or me. Try again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're still xyloning.
That's what should I do? I'll get in again.
It could be on my side.
How do I sound now?
No, still. The unfortunate thing is, it'll probably come out on my recording. So, okay, I'll go through the mail list. Hi, it's that time again. So this is about the New Year show. Not a lot of point because this will be announced after the New Year show. Policy change: removal of by arrange permission when posting to HPR. So yes, this is we require the license from hosts submitting a show, as by default, the work is considered to be copyright, all rights reserved. We accept shows posted under the Creative Commons license, GNU Free Documentation license, and anything in the public domain, anything under a FLOSS software license. We do not post other copyrighted content, even if it is under a fair use clause, and there's a link to the discussion on why that is. We do allow shows by arrange permissions where the host has explicit permission to submit the show, but we have never had a show submitted under this clause. I'm now proposing that we remove that option, as even though that would give us permission to host it would cause problems for our listeners. Our podcasts are played in public spaces, and as the content is Creative Commons, they don't need to pay national license authorities. If we play content that is not Creative Commons, then they do. It would also prevent anyone from knowing the rights they have without knowing the explicit permissions attached to an individual show, and being able to interpret what that would mean to them if they reused This clause makes the whole question ambiguous because we flag our free Creative Commons, but the individual show would not be. To be safe, we would need to remove these shows from the main feed and make it so that they would only get these special shows if you explicitly opted in for them. I don't see how this would benefit anyone, as no one would be subscribed to this feed. So the proposed changes remove that text and replace it with, if you are redistributing under another Creative Commons license, GNU Free Documentation license, public domain, or FLOSS software license, then please signal that when you upload your show. We do not post other copyrighted content, even if it is made available under fair use or by arranged permission. So the feedback on that. James T says, sounds good and avoids a legal challenge. Kevin O'Brien, I'm in favor. I've used Creative Commons and all my content for years. Rowan says, I am for it. Best to do it now before somebody does submit a show by arranged permissions. Andrew Conway and McNally, I too am in favor, a straightforward policy, but I confess I'm now thinking of quickly submitting a by arranged permission show only because Rowan put the idea in my head. Sporus definitely sounds like the right thing to do to avoid potential future issues. I'm having a hard time thinking of any downsides, and I tend to be the person to pick apart proposals at work. Tattoo, I'm in favor, keep it simple, keep it open. X101, I too am in favor of this change. Chris Monochromic says, given the fact that each and every show carries an explicit copyright notice, even if submitted under the default license, aye. Claudio says, hi all, throwing in my vote for this change definitely will be for the better and provides protection as well as making sure the content remains freely accessible. Mark Rice, I'm in favor also. that's pretty much the feedback on that. Okay, and then Chris requested that we, from Monochromic from Linux Inmos says, hi admins, ever considering using a LexEncrypt cert for HTTPS for the website? I'm putting a redirect in place to avoid browser security warnings. To which I said, we do have it in place and an automatic redirect. I would like to get people's feeling on an automatic redirect, more or less summarizing. John Spriggs says, better search engine optimization and reduce the risks of intercept, and gives examples where that's happened. Kevin O'Brien says he uses HTTPS everywhere in his browser, so he automatically gets redirected. Claudio says he has an edge case where he has vintage computers accessing the site. And John replies back to Kevin saying that the EFF has deprecated HTTPS everywhere. And then we had Monochromic saying, linking to a 2014 article from Google Devs about how they're going to rank HTTPS sites more than HTTP sites. And so I concur with John and other people that the advantages of HTTPS far outweigh the disadvantages, to which I reply that John had 2 points. Both of his points are covered by the fact that we have HTTPS already in place. Kevin pointed out that he has an extension. John pointed out that the EFF page says, now the world is closer with mainstream browsers offering native support for HTTPS only mode. And I pointed out that the article from Google goes back 7 years, and in that time we've been contacted an awful lot by Google. Anytime Google changes a policy, in fact, we get an email saying that our site isn't doing this or not doing that according to them. I do want to point out that Claudio's, I'm summarizing here, Claudio's vintage computer thing is kind of valid, because there are a lot of low-cost IoT devices that don't necessarily have certs that would allow them to connect. And I think that's going to become a bigger problem here in the future, where if you ever load up Windows 95 or a retro computer and try to browse the internet now, how much of a problem that is. Again, my point is Google don't seem to be worried about it, and EFF doesn't seem to be worried about having a HTTP-only site, so what's the point again? What am I missing? Mad says, I would prefer the HTTP site to be only available on I don't care about security.hackerpublicradio.org. To which I reply that redirectors like strip SSL take a HTTP connection and basically take advantage of these HTTPS redirects and use it to their advantage to do a man-in-the-middle attack. Then we would need to use a thing called HST, which is HTTP Strict Transport Security, which is a header that you can put in your URLs to, a header that you can put in, say that you require HTTPS. And then I bring up the point of, are we going to do browser redirects? But what about the podcatcher clients? And I really kind of want to know why we're doing this now and not in 2014. John the Nice Guy gives me some advice about UUIDs. Yes, John, I hear you. And when you're on the back end of 3 or 4 terabytes of data, you got to be a bit careful. So DNT says the government website on HST clearly advises against redirecting HTTP to HTTPS because it doesn't deliver the default security, and then goes on about maybe we should implement it, and but skip the preload, which, you know, I might be inclined to do. And then Mag gives some more information on the max age, etc. And so DNT actually noticed that the navigation bar on HPR was hard-coded with HTTP, which we fixed. And I subsequently noticed, when was it, today or yesterday? Well, we'll see, we'll get to that one in a minute. And yeah, I say some of the padlocks saying parts of this page are not secure. So when we went through and fixed all the website itself, the show notes themselves contain images, and we're going through a process of fixing those over the holidays. So that's a bit of a change that we need to be a little bit careful about doing. And Chris has a description about man in the middle attack with the MP3 or OGG feed, but Clatu has already hacked us using a similar method. So yeah, we're never going to be secure. But and Carl has a recommendations for a web server that does HTTPS, and basically was looking at the same issue himself. So summary is, as of now, the main website has been modified to be HTTPS links. Well, modified to be, if you come on HTTPS, the links are all HTTPS. Most of the images will probably redirect to the HTTPS website. We'll see how we're going to do that in the fullness of time. Any comments there, Dave?
No, not really. I mean, there's a fair bit of work to go through the entire database and make changes, but we're going to tackle that soon as we can get the resources to do it. I.e., you and I can do the stuff.
Yes, very good. And even I noticed that even though I didn't change any of the RSS feeds, that was sufficient to re-trigger all the recent show postings to Mastodon. So I'm very concerned about changing the RSS feeds to HTTPS. In fact, I don't see the point. Someone would really have to convince me with a strong argument as to why that would be useful. People are more than welcome to, I can do a separate HTTPS feed that people can subscribe to if they wish. Perhaps that's the way forward. Anyway, let us settle until after the New Year show, and we'll see. Come back to this one again in January. People's thoughts on this would be appreciated. But I'm not going to, I'd like to hear, I'm not going to change it just because everybody else is doing it. I want to know a reason. We have a very specific use case on HPR. Everything we do is in the open anyway. So, yes, there's a reason to have a HTTPS website, which we do. So, and we should provide an option for people to download their shows, I guess, over HTTPS. Is that going to be a separate feed, Sissy to himself? Perhaps. Anywho. I to the mail list. I believe the following policy changes have been accepted and will be made over the holiday period. This is your last chance to give feedback. HPR will move from #OddcastPlanet will move to #OddcastPlanet on Libera. And we will also include links to the Matrix and Mastodon, etc. And a link to the discussion of that. Existing shows will be flagged with the current version of the Creative Commons license, and new shows will start defaulting to Attribution 4.0 International license, CC by SA 4.0. So that's not correct in the mail list, by the way. CC by SA. Okay. The intro and outro will be changed, and the upload form will remove the option to add the intro and outro. And I've requested some recording time with my wife to record a new intro or a new outro. And the most recent one, removal of by arranged permission when posting to HPR. So if you have objections to any of those, please contact us immediately. Thank you. Then we had a thing about the community news. We had a request by Tony and Mad Sweeney about the upcoming New Year's show, where we're going to update the website for bits and bobs. And that was that. Anything to add, Dave?
No. That all seems to be, in detail. So I'm not sure if I'm still distorting. I was keeping quiet.
You're on my side, yeah. But it could be me.
Yeah.
Shall I do the any other business? The older HPR shows on archive.org. There were 125 additional shows in the range of 1 to 870 have been uploaded, and the number of shows left to upload now is 244. Excellent work, Dave. Excellent work. I still need to have a look at that one issue that you had. I haven't had a chance yet. And I would like to thank, I'll just do them all myself, Dave, then, if that's okay. I would like to thank all the hosts that submitted shows this year. To be frank, Trumpet John, Windigo, CRVS, O9L, ArfTab, Deep Geek, Biza, Tim Tinney, Toadjet, Anonymous, Enigma, Tajzar, Paul Quirk, Clinton Roy, Hunky Magoo, Swift110, Kogo, Some Guy on the Internet, Trey, Be Easy, Clacky, Zenfloater2, Daniel Pearsons, Nailoza, Dave Morris, Plateau, Black Colonel, Andrew Conway, JWP, DNT, Mr. X, Jezra, The Love Bug, Minix, Brian in Ohio, Metatronic, Sigflop, Hacker Defoe, Roan, Quivnu, Operator, Claudio Miranda, John Culp, Norrist, One of Spoons, Archer 72, Tukatoroto, Ken Fallon, Monochromic, Ahuka, and of course the HBR volunteers. That's it, Dave. Are you going to be on the show tomorrow?
Yes, I plan to. Probably in the morning, probably.
Okay, that's it, everybody. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.